The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 27th day of December. So listen up, all you Christian patriots out there. Folks, we have a whole lot to do tonight, so we're going to get right to it. On the board tonight, we have Courageous Craig.
Hello, everybody.
And then out yonder in Missouri, we have none other than that traveling pastor. Parson, Pastor Joe.
Me and my mule going down dusty roads. Yeah. Not quite. It makes a great legend, but, you know, the man, the myth, the legend, but it's a little hokey.
You don't even have a mule, do you?
I used to.
Did you?
He died.
Oh. All right, but very good. Know. Well, we have a lot to cover tonight. So, but before we get into doing anything, I do want to say my good friend, Dan Schaefer. Well, he got the best Christmas present you can get, Joe. Early Sunday, Christmas morning. Christmas morning.
Saturday.
Dan, he went home to be with the Lord. And Dan had suffered terribly. His suffering was over. He had suffered from pancreatic cancer and liver cancer. And so now he is where he wanted to be. And this is where he always, you know, he was a born-again Bible believer, and he loved the Lord. And so
a saint with Jesus, yep.
Our most sincere condolences go out to Lori, his wife, and all of his children and grandchildren. And so he graduated, huh?
Big graduation. But I'd like to say a prayer for Laura and the children and the other just friends and family of Dan Schaefer. If you would, just sure. Bow your heads and pray with me, folks. Dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice when a believer like Dan joins the angels there with you and becomes that eternal being with no more pain, no more tears. We rejoice for him, but Lord, we know that those that love him, Laura and the children and all his other family and friends, their hearts are empty. Christmas is a hard time, very, very hard time to lose a loved one. And Lord, I would just ask that you would just put your arms around all of them and that love Dan and hold them and comfort them and just help them through this hard, hard time. Just be with them. And that they could, in their hearts, they can be glad that he's with you and with your comfort that in time they will, the pain will lessen and the healing begins. And we ask this in your Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. I got two other quick announcements, Joe, and one is for the folks out there too. We have a very powerful program tonight. So if you could, all you saints, if you could just take a minute and pray that the The anti-life people, the enemies of life, cannot take us down. In fact, just join with me in this prayer now. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come out tonight, Lord, we have a lot to get out. And Lord, I would like to have everyone on all the stations, all the saints out there hear what we have to put out tonight. It's very important in this time. And so when all the anti-life forces, so Lord, we would ask that you would come against all of the anti-life forces out there that might try to take us down tonight. And Lord, keep us up on every station, we pray. Lord, try to keep us up. Lord, we don't, no, you don't have to try. We know you can. Just keep us up on every station if you can. And thank you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, and, amen. And folks, you might want to get paper and pencil for tonight. We're going to give you some information that you aren't going to hear anywhere else. And from a doctor that's treated thousands of COVID patients. So you might want to take some notes. And plus, anytime you watch this program, you ought to have a pen and paper handy, because we give out numbers or websites or something that you will want to write down.
All righty. Again, I want to say this very quickly, because we got a lot to get in tonight. For you folks out there, many of you had ordered and asked that we would send you Larry's book or another book, one of the other books, Dr. Glidden's books and that. Well, it'll come. But right now, we've had the flu go through our church and the COVID. And
ministry.
And ministry. I've had the three ladies that help us that do that kind of stuff, send out the packages, because we get so many. Two of them are out with the flu, and the third one's on vacation in New Mexico trying to get a flight back home because they canceled so many flights. Yours truly, old pastor who's not used to doing this. I haven't done it myself, and one of the other men there at the church. We're doing that, you know, with all the other stuff we have to do. We're doing that, and we're not really as proficient as the ladies are, but we're getting it done. And so it might take a little longer than normal.
Is the word of the day, right?
Right.
Be patient, please.
So we want to say this, too. Let's get into the message. We have a lot. Do you remember what the title of the message was?
When they say, we say.
That's right. Now, Joe, for years and years and years, for almost 50 years, we've been begging people to get your children out of the public schools. Don't send them to the public schools, because they become nothing but hearts indoctrination centers for cultural Marxism. Don't send them to the public universities. Same very thing. But you sent your children anyhow. And what happened? Now you're wondering, what happened? What happened to those kids? They come back. We got these little snowflakes. You've got, like this woman that was on the plane who went after a 98-year-old man who wasn't wearing a mask while he was eating, okay? And no, not 98, 89. I got that backwards. An 89-year-old man who was
ate through a mask, right?
Right. And this lunatic snowflake, this woke woman who is typical of so many of out there today, okay? She attacked this old man for trying to eat his meal without wearing a mask. But you would expect this, and you say, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with the young people today? The Bible tells you in Proverbs 2, it refers to them as simple-minded. It refers to them as the simple-minded. Well, what's happened? You've sent them to these public school system. They've indoctrinated them. They've taught them to totally come against everything you believe and everything you've taught them. And now you've got the critical race theory, where they're promoting in public schools the children to be ashamed if you're white, to be ashamed and be angry at your parents for being white, okay? And so here again, by the way, Salvation Army is they're running ads after ads after ads, because their funds have fallen off. The giving has fallen off because they came out with that anti-white people statement that the whites should be ashamed. So, again, they became woke, and now Now they're running ad after ad after ad because, you know, white people get offended when we're told that we should be ashamed because we're white, okay?
And that we're racist when we're not. it's so dumb, but just assuming because you're white you're a racist is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, especially born-again believers. How many people do we know that have spent countless hours out Blood Alley in cold weather and snow and ice and rain and wind, spending hours out there trying to save babies, and the majority of the babies that were going to be aborted in several of those butcher shops there in Blood Alley were little black children. And these wonderful people were spending all this time trying to save their lives. And for them to be called racist, that's a crime.
Joe, let me tell you this. Okay, the brilliance of the Word of God. There's one verse in the Bible, Acts 17, verse 26, Joe. Acts 17, verse 26 completely destroys all of this racist nonsense from the woke generation, from these woke fools, okay? It completely destroys it. And so, if you folks out there don't understand, you need just to go over to the...
that?
Go ahead. Acts 17, 26.
Yeah, 17, 26. Here it is. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation.
So, Joe, if there's one blood, how many races are there?
One race. It's called the human race.
You got that. That completely destroys their argument, Joe, but we don't have time to go with
right.
that. Tonight we got to get into this. So what we're going to do, we're going to start tonight. I want you to go ahead and start because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you folks out there listening, you the saints, you patriots, you mature men and women in the Lord, those of you that are mature in the Lord, it is up to you. Now, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy, and I know you've already done a lot, but the only chance that your children have, this woke generation and your grandchildren, is if you stand on the authority of God's word and you insert yourself and you stand up and, again, boldly, don't say, well, you know, I don't want to have an argument. No. You do exactly what Joe's going to read to you to do. You have to do that. That's what I do on this radio program. You hear me all the time. I'm not out here to please men. I'm out here to obey God. And so,
but amen.
That's what you need to do.
Kingdom authority.
Right. So, Joe, you've got to do it or your children are going to perish. So, Joe, go ahead and read verses 1 through 8.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Okay, I think you have one more verse, don't you?
Oh, eight. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Okay, here we start with verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things in that verse. One, what is the charge when he says this, I charge thee? What is he saying there?
An order.
That's a military term, isn't it?
Yeah, I charge you.
So that means the only time when you receive a charge in the military, the only thing that releases you from that charge is the one who gives it to you, if he takes releases you, or if you're dead, okay, if you die. That's what releases. So Paul is telling Timothy that he said, this is what you have to do. This is an order, Timothy. And he says here, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that tell you when he places God and the Lord Jesus Christ on the same level?
The Father and the Son, it's all-encompassing.
He's talking about the deity of Christ, isn't he?
Right.
So, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now he's saying, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. So he's talking about God, which is the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and then who is going to judge them? The Lord Jesus is going to be the one that judges, right?
Supreme, and then he says, the universe.
Now, when he says be instant, in season and out of season, means always be ready to preach. Always be ready to preach the gospel, Joe, whether you can do it without persecution or it's going to be persecution, okay? I've been arrested for preaching the gospel several times, just standing out in front of those bloody abortion mills and preaching the gospel. And, of course, we've beat them every time. Every time we ended up going to court, often we would have dirty cops that would take money. And then later on, they regretted it, okay? The Bible says what? Touch not mine anointed, huh?
Exactly. Also, it means like if you're on vacation and you have a chance to witness to somebody at a gas station, at a store, at a marina, wherever you are, if you have an opportunity to witness and testify, you're to go for it.
All right.
And that applies to everyone.
Now it says, out of in season or out, now reprove, rebuke. What does that mean, to reprove and rebuke?
Reprove is a gentle correction. A rebuke is a stern, you are wrong, stop sinning.
Okay, so then
rebuke is very strong. A reprove is a gentle correction.
Well, this is when you come to the exhort. So what are you to exhort? You're to exhort them to do what? Tell the truth, huh?
Right.
Okay, when all long suffering,
tell the truth to whatever, you know, there could be several times you exhort.
So long-suffering means with patience, huh?
Right, which is
But
art.
Then, yeah, well, yeah. And doctrine, 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 and doctrine. That means biblical teaching, biblical teaching.
Right, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sword of the Lord, is what you are to use.
So you are to do this. So now, did we have any stuttering in this passage at all? Or is it perfectly clear? Is it spoken with absolute authority?
With absolute authority. There's no equivocation there.
Okay, now
those are action verbs. Preach, exhort, reprove, rebuke.
To the patriotic saints, and I say that because I get letters from so many of you, and God bless you all out there that send me such letters of encouragement, because they're saying, keep telling the truth. Do you know why? Joe, you and I, okay, are saying what so many people out there feel and believe. We're saying it. We're saying what so many people feel and believe, but they don't have a platform that we do. And so this is why they're saying that, because here they can at least get their message out through us here. And I praise the good Lord, because I read those letters, folks. We read all of them. Sometimes it's too many for me to read. So we have people sitting at a table, sometimes 10, 12 people, and they'll have letters, and they'll each read that letter that they have, okay? So I hear everything that you write, just so. But anyhow, so the point that we're making out there is, don't be afraid. Don't expect, first of all, don't expect your children, your grandchildren, and others, these young people, to say thank you for correcting them. They're not going to do that, but you have to do that. Listen, you want to please God. You want to please God. And that's exactly what he's telling you, what the Apostle Paul is telling you right here. Now,
and
he goes
children,
on, Joe.
Folks, your children will not, just by osmosis, absorb the doctrine, the gospel, will understand the truth without your help. because the world is leading them in a totally different direction, and they have only you to stand between a whole bunch of socialists, communists, you know, progressives, you name it, agents of Satan, and you may be the only person standing between them and a path to hell.
Well, Joe, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is now. It's here today.
Oh, it's here. It's
but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, Joe, those teachers having itching ears is exactly what Paul was talking about over there in verse 7 when he says, in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 3, Joe, when he says, for of this sort are they that creep into houses. The houses there are referring to church houses. And lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because they're never learning the truth, Joe. And he's talking about, like, these prosperity preachers that go to places like when you go, like Joe Osteen's church or some of the Rick Warren, these mega churches where the prosperity churches where they're tickling the ears. And what these prosperity preachers do is they want to find out. What they do is they actually will send out flyers in that, like they did there at in Michigan, at Kellogg, Michigan, where they sent out the flyers that I'm trying to think of whose big church they have out there to find out what people want to hear preached.
Right.
And so Rick Warren gives you 11 different venues so you can come to hear what you want to hear preached. Whatever it is it takes to get you to put money into the offering cup or do what they want you to do. That's what it means to have.
Oh, can I interrupt?
Yeah.
To all the listeners out there, we do exactly the opposite. We preach God's truth, God's word, and then turn around and say, please support the ministry, keep us on the air doing this, even if we've offended you, even if we've upset you, because God has said we were to be the watchman on the wall, warn you, preach, and teach, and this is what we do every night that we're on the air, regardless of who we offend or upset.
And they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned into fables, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. So, look, he's not telling all of you out there that you have to be pastors in the pulpit preaching, but he's telling all of you out there that God expects you. He gives all of us three missions in obedience, and he expects you. He's not talking about just pastors here. He's talking to you folks out there, all you Christian patriots, to be bold, stand up. Listen, if you do that, if you stand up, if you're obedient to him, you'll never regret it. Now, here, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hence, therefore, laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. And so, folks, that will be yours, too, if you're obedient to the word of God.
That explains what you were just saying. And unto all of them, and those aren't all pastors, all of them, meaning all of you hearing his word right there, unto all of you that love his appearing, that are looking forward to the second coming of Christ, he's speaking to you.
But unto all them also that love his appearing. You see, Scripture says the Lord is returning. There are a lot of people out there telling you, there will not be a rapture of the church. Don't believe that. You're going to go through the tribulation period, even though there is no reason at all that the church would go through the tribulation period. But Scripture says the Lord returns for those that are looking for his return.
Sure.
Make sure you're one of those. Now,
Joe,
we're going to play you folks this clip now, and listen carefully to what it says. And in fact, it'll be up till the top of the hour. And this clip is Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. He's treated probably more COVID patients than anybody else in the world. And he has, just listen to what he has to say. We'll be back after this.
Lost 40 so relatives in the Holocaust buried alive in Babi Yar outside of Kiev. So I won't use the word genocide loosely. This is a genocide against the innocent and the vulnerable. This is a carefully coordinated, brilliantly orchestrated and executed evil plan to damage and hurt billions of people. You know, there are two risk factors to die from COVID. It's the doctor you choose and the government you live under. Because the government's tyranny is making it difficult to gain access to life-saving medication, and physician malfeasance and malpractice is delaying crucial treatment in the right time frame, and that's why people are dying. What it is there's a group of people, a small group, that believe that they've evolved intellectually into a higher level of consciousness, which gives them the power and the right to dictate what happens to the others. In my opinion, they didn't evolve. They're devolved pagans. There's nothing new under the sun. This has been historically and biblically the narrative.
Oh, I totally agree. They're the conquest system versus the Renaissance system that builds us up and empowers us. They're like cancer. Just because cancer can take over doesn't mean it's dominant. It's a malfunction.
They're sociopaths. I have a joke. The whole world is suffering because Bill Gates couldn't find a girlfriend in high school.
Exactly.
In other words, they have such a hatred for others and such a narcissistic need to destroy and crush others to make themselves feel powerful. It's a absolutely horrific, ungodly, pagan approach to life.
Well, historically, we know it's true. Evil builds its power secretly and then makes its move each time with a new operation. And we're witnessing it right now. Dr. Vladimir Zev Zelenko was the first medical doctor I saw saying hydroxychloroquine, zinc, ivermectin, vitamin D 18, 19 months ago. At the very beginning, he's treated thousands and thousands of people in New York. And I've just seen him do an amazing job. We've played many clips of him here. I feel like I know him. We've got him for the rest of the hour. I'm going to try to shut up and let him talk because he's on these other great medical shows, but like five or six other doctors. I want to give him a chance. He's on Fox for 5 minutes. He's on something else real quick. I want to give him, in the 45 minutes we'll have of airtime in this hour, a lot of time here. But he's a doctor who recommended that President Trump take hydroxychloroquine. His protocol results in 99% for survival of high-risk COVID patients. Dr. Zelenko has nominated for the Presidential Medical Freedom and for the Nobel Prize. He's recognized as a hero of the U.S. Senate Homeland Security Committee hearing. He's published in top peer-reviewed journals with world-renowned physicians. Dr. Zelenko provided counsel to the White House, personal, multiple governments, hospitals, physicians, and public figures. So he's a real trailblazer, and we've got his website on screen for you, zstacklife.com, zstacklife.com, or just search his name, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. Sir, thank you so much for joining us. Wow, what a time historically to be alive. You can do big picture, 35,000 view, or the microscope view, wherever you want to start. Please, with your research, your background, you talk about these deadly killer shots, what we're facing. We really appreciate you, doctor.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks so much for having me. I'm a family physician, board certified, and for the last 20 years I've taken care of a community in upstate New York, in Monroe, New York. And in March of last year, but the community is 35,000 people that live within a square mile. And last March, the first week of March, COVID arrived and spread to almost everyone. And we had thousands of sick patients. And if you remember, at that time, there was no treatment available. All we were telling patients is go home, take Tylenol. If you get sick or go to the hospital, you'll end up on a respirator. And in Manhattan, 80 to 90% of the patients on the respirators were dying. But that was the treatment model that we had. It wasn't very satisfying. These patients were family to me. And they were looking at me, asking me for help, and I had nothing to offer them. It's a terrible feeling. I hope no one has to feel that way ever again. And so what I've learned throughout my life is that if there's no answer, you have to find an answer. And so I started innovating, and I just used common sense. It's pretty pathetic that in this world, common sense is considered genius. But here's the common sense ideas that I decided to apply, that the sooner you treat someone, the better the outcome, right? That's just life. And Then I needed to know who are the patients at risk. So I called up my colleagues, my friends at the local hospitals that work in the ICU, and I asked them, who's dying? And they told me, well, the elderly people and those with medical problems. And I said, what about the younger people? They said, we're not seeing them. So I realized that this virus doesn't kill people equally. It picks on the vulnerable. That was important information because my office, instead of seeing 50 patients a day, which was the average, we were seeing 250. Half my staff was sick. The outpatient resources like radiology and blood work were shut down. The hospitals were at near capacity. So we didn't have enough resources to take care of everyone. So I triaged. I sent home the low-risk patients and devoted my limited resources to the high-risk patients. And what did I do? So I looked around what other countries had been doing in treating COVID. I looked at South Korea and I looked at France and I put together their protocols and modified the dosing. And I started using it in my patients. And here's the key. When they presented to my office, I did not wait for the results of the flawed PCR test because it would take a week to get back the results. By the time I got the results, they were half dead. It didn't make sense to me. So if I thought the patient had COVID, I used my clinical judgment. I would do the testing also, but I would not delay treatment. And what I noticed was that within 12 to 24 hours of giving patients this three-drug approach, they all started getting better. I didn't believe it myself, but I kept on doing it, and I realized that after around 50 patients, that this is not a fluke, this is not a mistake, that God had given me some brilliant gift that really is saving people's lives. And I realized what this could mean. So I made a video, a YouTube video with the help of my son, because I didn't know how to make videos. And it was addressed to the President of the United States. And 16 hours later, I get a phone call myself from Mark Meadows, the President's chief of staff. And he said, Dr. Zelenko, you're looking for the President? And I said, yes. I explained to him what I was seeing. They were very interested, and I had his contact information now, Mark Meadows, cell and email. And every other day or so, I would give them updates. Then Stephen Hahn, Dr. Hahn, who was the commissioner of the FDA, he called me on my cell phone. He wanted to know what I was doing, and I told him. And then he connected me with the head people at the NIH, and I started speaking to them, and that was a dead end because first of all, they weren't interested. Second, they didn't even know what to do with real-world evidence. See, I wasn't doing research. I was just trying to keep my patients alive. But by doing so, I generated very important information that I was hoping that people with resources would look into. But that didn't go anywhere. But what really changed things was Rudy Giuliani called me, and we did a podcast together, and that went completely viral. Millions of people saw it. And since then, my life has never really been the same.
Well, it really is amazing that you did the first original research of anybody I saw on this, doctor. And wow, if this information hadn't got out, and that's a whole other subject. I want to talk about currently what the disease has morphed into and what's happened. But what about big tech? What about big pharma actively trying to suppress you and so many other prominent scientists and doctors? To me, this is a crime against humanity. I don't use those words lightly. I mean, this has really been a premeditated attempted suppression of what you and other real doctors found on the ground.
You know, I'm a Hasidic Jew, and my family lost 40 or so relatives in the Holocaust, buried alive in Babi Yar outside of Kiev. So I won't use the word genocide loosely. This is a genocide against the innocent and the vulnerable. This is a carefully coordinated, brilliantly orchestrated and executed evil plan to damage and hurt billions of people. And it took me 18 months to reverse engineer this crime, but it is a crime against humanity. I really agree with you. And actually, I was the first in the world to actually call it that in the third week of March when I did an interview.
I know you did, doctor, and you're absolutely right. And it shocks me to see this attempted takeover and extermination of humanity. So when we come back, I want to give you the floor to get into currently what's happening, how people you think should be treating it from your own research, or how we counter this genocide. But we got a minute and a half to break. What else do you want to cover, sir? Because I'm going to give you unfettered the floor when you come back.
Well, I'm going to leave your audience with very practical information that should empower them to be able to protect themselves and their families You know, there are two risk factors to die from COVID. It's the doctor you choose and the government you live under. Because the government's tyranny is making it difficult to gain access to life-saving medication, and physician malfeasance and malpractice is delaying crucial treatment in the right time frame, and that's why people are dying. So the key here, there are over-the-counter options that people could buy and use for prophylaxis and for treatment that can reduce hospitalization and death by almost more than 80%. My data showed a reduction in hospitalization by 84%, hospitalization and death by 84%. Subsequently, dozens of studies around the world, peer-reviewed studies, corroborated the same observation. So what that means is out of 600,000 dead Americans, we could have prevented 510,000 from even going to the hospital.
Incredible. Dr. Vladimir Zinzelenko. Zev Zelenko, stay right there, zstacklife.com. Absolute trailblazer. I'm so honored to have him on. I don't care about Hollywood. I don't care about movies. I don't care about power, but I care about real people. So I got chills having this guy on. Without him, we'd be in a lot worse shape right now. Stay with us and tell folks how to tune in right now. And we are back live here on the Alex Jones Show on this Friday edition with Dr. Vladimir Zev Zelenko, the original trailblazing doctor. It's true. Who first exposed all this back in, I guess, February, or he can correct me, of 2020. And so he was the first doctor we heard all this from. Now it's all well known, but still big tech tries to suppress it. He was getting into the fact that this is basically a depopulation operation. So he's got the floor now to continue with the history of it or how to counter it now. I mean, I know before it targeted the old, people that were sick. Now I'm seeing the Delta variant ravage my family, so many others, and I see a lot of evidence from other scientists that it is mutating from the so-called vaccine, which is a live virus vaccine, but he's the medical doctor. So, doctor, please continue.
Thanks again for having me. So, actually, it was in March. That's when I started. But I sent a letter to the president of the United States documenting my experience. And my.
This
protocol.
Is March of 2020.
Yes. And I sent a letter, it was the last week in March. And when the president made an announcement that he's taking hydroxychloroquine, he referenced my letter as the reason why he was doing it, that he got a letter from an upstate doctor telling him about his experiences. So that began my relationship with the Trump administration. And what happened was after the president came out in support of hydroxychloroquine, it began to be vilified viciously, and any doctor who was using it was persecuted. They were brought up before medical boards. They were losing their jobs. It didn't make any sense. And when the president announced that he wants hydroxychloroquine made available to every single American, he tasked Secretary Azar with that job from Health and Human Services. Secretary Azar gave it to Larry Kudlow, who was the head counsel for them, and Larry Kudlow called Dr. Rick Bright from BARDA. Now, what I'm about to tell you is the mechanics of genocide. And the basis of what I'm about to tell you is Dr. Rick Bright's own words in a documentary called Totally Under Control. And what he describes is the following. When he got the president's order to make hydroxychloroquine available to every American, he says he felt that was a terrible idea, and him and his team were against it. So they crafted, together with Janet Woodcock, who's now currently the acting head of the FDA, a strategy to limit access to hydroxychloroquine. And how did they do that? Well, first, they were supposed to use the right to try legislation which enabled every single American to have access to certain drugs outside of clinical trials. They were supposed to use that pathway to make hydroxychloroquine available to every single American, to open the national stockpile of medication to every single American. Instead, what they did was they crafted an emergency use authorization that opened the national stockpile of medication to only hospitalized patients. What that did effectively, and it sent a message to every single doctor in America and employer that the government is only in support of hydroxychloroquine usage in the hospital setting. And certain employers set policies that if a doctor uses hydroxychloroquine in the outpatient setting, they would lose their job. So effectively, what that emergency use authorization did...
It's like telling a fire department you can't use fire hydrants and water to put out fires.
Correct. And so the data shows that the early use, pre-hospital use of hydroxychloroquine together with zinc and azithromycin reduced hospitalization and death by 84%. That means 84% of Americans who ended up in the hospital could have been saved. We're talking about over 500,000 people in America alone. And everyone knows what the FDA does, the rest of the world follows. We could have, by the way, I treated President Bolsonaro also, but digressing. But everyone knows that whatever the American FDA does, everyone else follows. We could have ended this thing globally, except for people like Rick Bright and whoever the stakeholders are that he serves. It definitely doesn't serve the American people, that's for sure.
You're right, Doctor. It's very clear. They want a corporate response, only their so-called vaccines, because they can't get emergency use of these gene therapies they call vaccines if there's stuff out there that has any efficacy. Is that correct?
That is correct. I got my hands on internal FDA documents which show the following criteria who can get an emergency use authorization. And the answer is only if there is no other option available, if there's no other therapeutic, then a drug may be given emergency use authorization if it shows potential promise. Otherwise, it has to go through the 10-year process and millions of dollars to get the drug through different trials. So what happened was that the emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine obstructed other drugs from getting it. And so there was a study that came out by Lancet, the most respected journal, peer-reviewed journal in medicine, that concluded, it was a 96,000 meta-analysis, patient meta-analysis, that hydroxychloroquine kills people. And what happened was the WHO took that information and made a global moratorium against the use of hydroxychloroquine. The only problem with that study was it was fraud. That data didn't exist. Those patients didn't exist. And Lancet had to retract that study, which is the biggest scandal in the history of medicine. Why am I telling you this? Because when the FDA revoked the emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine, in the document that explains why they did it, they quote this fraudulent study from Lancet. After it's been already retracted, it has as much value as toilet paper. Our government, our wonderful FDA, still used a fraudulent document to destroy access to hydroxychloroquine. These are actions of a government that does not want you to live.
Absolutely. I saw that last year when you were covering it. It's incredible that they would do this. So what do you think, Doctor, the end game is here?
So you have to let's look at the facts and reverse engineer. So access to life-saving medication is being suppressed. Information about life-saving medication is being suppressed. Any doctor who dares say something that is against the narrative of the government, it could be the world leader in mRNA vaccine technology, Dr. Robert Malone. If he says something that is not consistent with the narrative, he gets deplatformed. So information and voices are being suppressed. I personally have been thrown off of Twitter. Facebook puts me in jail all the time. LinkedIn threw me off. YouTube takes down all my videos. So it's horrific. Now, we're going to get to the vaccine in a minute, but I want to explain to your listeners the following. There are four important components to any pandemic response. The first is spread prevention. Then it's pre-hospital care, then it's hospital care, and then there's safe and effective use of vaccines. I'm not against vaccines. I have vaccinated tens of thousands of patients in my
career. Doctor, don't want to cut you off. We got a satellite break. We're going to come back. You'll have the floor to start over with those 4 points. Amazing. Yes, sir. We'll come right back to Dr. Vladimir Zevzelenko, ZStackLife.com. They're censoring him. They're blogging him. He's a great doctor. Serves over 30,000 great people in New York. And it's been proven to be right. And he and others like him are the answer to coming out of this great evil. We'll be right back on the other side of this quick break. Please stay with us. Tell folks, tune in. Welcome back to the Censored Attacked broadcast. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Dr. Vladimir Zev Zelenko, an American patriot in New York, has over 30,000 patients. He was the first person to talk about how they were suppressing treatments. Well, he brought out treatments that were working, then they tried to suppress him. So he's getting into the big picture right now of what's happening, what he thinks is coming next, and just so much more. You got cut off by the break. Doctor, please continue.
Yeah, I was talking about vaccinations. I look at each vaccine and judge it on its merits. There are three components when it comes to any therapeutic that we need to assess when we're making a risk-versus-benefit analysis, whether or not it's worth using. Number one is medical necessity. Just because we have a capability doesn't mean we need to actually use it. There has to be a need for it. So, for example, a surgeon that operates on every patient is not a surgeon. He's a butcher. He's not using medical judgment. So just because we may have an ability doesn't mean that we need it. So we have to look through the different demographics and see, is there an actual need for these vaccines, number one. Number two, efficacy. You want to make sure this stuff actually works.
By the way, when you got cut off, just to interrupt you, because I remember now, you were going through the four types of medical response, and then start over.
Yeah, I mentioned that there is spread prevention, pre-hospital care, hospital care, and vaccinations. But the vaccinations have to be safe and effective and medically necessary. So we'll go through the analysis of whether or not these vaccines, you actually need them. Then we'll see if they work, and then we'll analyze if they're safe. But I want to tell you, before we go in there, what Governor Cuomo did to my patients. First of all, Governor Cuomo, who, ex-Governor Cuomo, was directly responsible for 20,000 nursing home deaths. I have friends who lost their parents in nursing homes. Some nursing homes lost 50 to 60% of their census. So this same governor made an executive order to block access to hydroxychloroquine to my patients. And I mean, it was my patients. I was the only one who was actually using it.
Wow, the magnitude of this, doctor. You're a prominent doctor, thousands of patients. Your patients blocked when you knew it would help. This is murder.
Yeah, I agree. And so what I was forced to do, I was forced to innovate again. You know, there's a saying, you don't go to war with the army you wish you had. You go to war with the army you do have. So I lost my hydroxychloroquine, which is nothing more than a zinc delivery system. And I had to find something else. So I was looking on the NIH servers of all places, and I came across something called quercetin. And apparently it did the same thing. It got zinc inside the cell. And I never heard of quercetin, so I Google it, and I see it's over the counter. So what I realized, I took a step back, and it was one of those moments in my life, where I realized I just stumbled across the cure for tyranny. Because now, like I mentioned earlier, I can just tell you, Alex, go buy this stuff in the vitamin shop, and you'll be protected. So it was amazing. So I started using quercetin, vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc for all my patients, and I had the same exact outcomes. So it was remarkable. So I should thank Governor Cuomo, she said in flowers. But anyway, getting back to these vaccines, if we go through each demographic, if we go through the demographic of 18 or younger, basically healthy kids, the CDC says their survival rate is 99.998% without treatment from COVID-19. It's safer than influenza virus. Why would I vaccinate a demographic that has a near 100% recovery rate without treatment with something that is not even FDA approved and was brought to human use after a year of development when historically it takes 10 years to bring a vaccine to market? Why would I? The answer is not for medical reasons. Perhaps if I believed in child sacrifice. If you look at another demographic from 18 to 45 and healthy adults, the survival rate without treatment is 99.95%. With treatment, it's a near 100%. So the same question, why would I vaccinate with an experimental liquid that was only used, it took a year to develop, why would I vaccinate that demographic with something like that? The answer is not for medical reasons. Or if someone had COVID and they have antibodies, they have natural immunity. Everyone knows that natural immunity is much more protective. Why would I inject them with something to make inferior antibodies? That doesn't make sense. And then you get to the last group, and this is really important. The high-risk group, which is 45 and older, are those with medical problems. They are at risk. They have a death rate of 7.5%, completely unacceptable. I agree. However, with proper treatment, we can reduce that risk to less than 1%. So now comes the risk versus benefit analysis, that if with proper treatment, I could have a death rate of less than 1%, what am I going to see if I use these vaccines? But that's going to segue into its safety issues. So if you look at, there are three time periods we need to analyze. From the moment of injection to around 3 months, from 3 months to 3 years, and then long term, more than 3 years. In the acute setting, what we're seeing is people dying from blood clots, from inflammation of the heart, and from miscarriages in the first trimester. According to the VAERS system, which is a terrible system, but that's all we have, VAERS stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, there are 11,000 dead Americans. So my question is, what is the threshold of death? In 1976, with the swine flu vaccines, 26 deaths happened. They scrubbed the entire system, where the government is actually admitting to 11,000 deaths. That's not enough. How about what the CDC whistleblower is saying? The number is not 11,000, but it's 45,000. It's a whistleblower. Or how about the 2009 Harvard study that said only 1% of actual events are being reported on theirs? Okay, I can make an argument that death is reported at a higher rate. So what's that rate? 20%, 30%. So you have to then scale whatever numbers that you're seeing by a factor of five. And also, I have colleagues that want to file reports, and their reports are being rejected. Their patients died.
So, doctor, we have censorship. We have suppression of knowledge. We have suppression of treatments. We have all of this. How do we respond to this? I guess speaking out like you're doing, I mean, this is horrible.
I'm a big advocate of looking into biblical sources to find answers for modern problems. So King David in the Psalms of David writes, turn away from bad, do good, and live. So it's a very good prescription. So in this context, turn away from bad means do not submit to the fear, do not agree to the isolation, and stay away from the poison death shots.
It's very simple. Just turn away from the fear and the lie and live.
I think that's simple. The problem is that we're witnessing a very sophisticated psychological manipulation of humanity. Everyone knows who studied psychological warfare that prolonged anxiety coupled together with social isolation leads to a psychological decompensation. And what that happens to the person is they become very gullible and very easy to manipulate. If you look at 2015, Bill Gates said that the world population needs to be reduced by 15%. It's a TED lecture. In 2020, the same Bill Gates said that 7 billion people need to be vaccinated. So the first question, why would I want to take a vaccine sponsored by someone who believes that the world population should be reduced? A vaccine for my health, I mean. Does that make sense?
That's very simple logic. It's just logic.
And so here's the issue. I really feel that we are living through an attempt to enslave humanity. This is a war against God. Because there are two systems of thought that can no longer coexist. The first system is that we're made in God's image.
Doc, final segment. If you can hold over, it's fine. But do one more segment.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.